Hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it because we have a choice, right? Choice to rejoice. Praise God. How's everybody today? You're blessed and highly flavored. Oh, hallelujah. Lift your hands to heaven and get another drink before we start. Thank you, Lord. We welcome Phyllis and Overflow. Yeah. Nothing greater than the presence of the Lord to surround us, engulf us, fill us. Yes. Would you turn to Mark 16, please? Glory. Hallelujah. In verse 15, would you read it with me? And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be what? Condemned. What's the word believe mean?
Follow.
Follow. There's a lot of believers, but not followers. God looks at them as liars. Verse 17. And these signs will follow those who follow. Amen? In my name they will what? Cast out demons. You know that that's the problem. Demons are people's problems. It isn't your spouse, your boss, your children. Of course, the demons will use your children. It's demons that's the problem. Does everybody get it? That's why he's so specific about this. He said, these signs will follow. The first thing he says, you're going to have to kick butt on. He says, in my name, they will cast out demons. In other words, get them out of your house. Get them out of your health. Get them out of your finances. Get them out of your mind. Get them out of your soul. Get them out. So it's our responsibility to drive darkness out. That's what he said. He says, you will do this if you follow me. Amen? And they will speak with new tongues. Wow, that doesn't mean you're going to go to college and learn Spanish or Japanese or anything. This is not a carnal language. This is a new language from heaven called tongues, which we just did. And it says, and they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it'll by no means hurt them. Now, you're not going to go siphon out gas from cars and test God, because you will die. He does give us wisdom. And you're not going to dance with serpents, because you're going to get bit, and you're going to die, unless you want to go home early. And it says, and they will lay hands on the sick, and they will what? They will recover. Praise God. Sometimes we need to lay hands on ourselves. Maybe I'll look in the mirror once in a while and cast out that devil that's winking in your eye. There's something specific about this, what God is saying. He said, those who believe me, those who follow me, in other words, do what I do. Do what I do. You know, a third of Jesus' ministry was casting out devils. A third was preaching, and a third was healing. He said, imitate me. See, in this world, in this country that we live in, there's so many distractions, are relying on everything according to the world instead of truly relying on God. And in this, there's something very important, because when these things are happening in an individual's life, especially the way a person prays, if you're one that is a first striker and you attack, and it becomes a part of your life, no matter where you go, you attack. We should be demon slayers wherever you go. Demons shouldn't be slaying you. You should be slaying them. That means there's something vitally important. Go to Acts 19. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I'm in 17. That's wrong. In Acts 19, it's very powerful because in verse 11, would you read it with me? It says, now God worked what? Unusual. Unusual. We're unusual. You know that, right? So unusual signs should follow me and you. We're not of the norm according to the world. If you want to get freed up, healed up, and then go back to be normal, you might as well stay sick, because we're not normal. In the eyes of God, we should be normal. See, casting out devils is normal. Laying hands on the sick is normal. Speaking in tongues is normal. Taking dominion is normal. Preaching the gospel and being a witness, that's normal. Anything else is abnormal, because everything else from that is called anti-Christ. And because God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even the handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and evil spirits went out of them. Why? Because evil spirits will carry a disease, won't they? Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits. So they try to use Jesus' name to cast out demons. And they said, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said to them, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you, homie? They try to use the name of Jesus, but they weren't his. Now, this is what happened to them. Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house butt naked and wounded. There was something that the demons saw. They didn't see the mark of heaven. They didn't see the mark that was on those who didn't have Jesus. See, you and I are marked by heaven. We carry a mark that demons see. It's called a seal. Demons see that. But see, if you don't know it, they know you don't know it. As a man thinks, so he is. Everyone say, I'm marked by heaven. That's why Jesus said, and you will go and preach. You will go cast out devils. Why? Because you're going to, wherever you go, you have dominion. Wherever you go. That's why he gave me and you the keys of the kingdom to bind and loose. Or to bind the strong man wherever we go. We're to call destructive fire down on high places of Satan's altars. We're to take dominion in prayer and wherever we go. Because he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. You and I are now carriers of the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty, called the anointing. But as a man thinks, so he is. See, one of the things that the devil loves to do is distract. It's a terrible thing not to fulfill your mission. Terrible. Just because it feels good doesn't mean it's God. Hello. It's a lot of people that live by how they feel. You can't trust them. In Ephesians chapter 2. You know what? I did not feel good this morning. I did not feel good. I felt so sick this morning that I was at the point where I was almost going to call and say, you know what? I can't make it. And then I was reminded, I'm in pain, but I can't go by my pain. I can't allow my pain to dictate what I'm to do. And I had to fight, not in my own strength, because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And I knew that whatever the Lord was giving me today, that the enemy did not want me to be here. And I had to fight. I can't allow my pains or anything to dictate the will of God in my life. So many people are so wimpy. They allow every little thing to dictate their walk. Listen, God's not looking for wimps. He's looking for people that are willing to lay down their life. He's looking for ones that are willing to give their life for his life. See, he paid the price for me and you. Amen? What a price. My gosh, what a price. You know, people trample that price that he gave me and you by being so wimpy. But I'm telling you got to fight for God's presence, and God will fight for you. When you fight for his presence, he'll fight for you. So many people are asking, oh, Lord, when? Believe me, we all ask that, when. But many times he's saying, I'm waiting on you. You don't have to wait on me. Amen? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Oh, hallelujah. The fight is not one time. It's daily. We are hard-pressed constantly. But we got to stop this wimpiness. We got to stop everything to prevent us from getting into God's presence. Because let me tell you, I feel 100% better right now. It's amazing. I'm going to tell you, oh, I don't feel good. I'm not coming to church. But let me tell you, people go to work when they don't feel good. Oh, they'll go out on dates when they don't feel good. But to get in God's presence, and let me tell you, you're either earning the trust of the Lord or losing it. There's people that I used to trust I don't trust no more. Why? Because they're too wimpy. I can't trust someone that's too wimpy. I don't want someone fighting for me that's a wimp. Why? Because he's going to end up, or she's going to end up giving up, and the enemy's going to have access to me then. You want people to surround you that are strong in the Lord and the power of his might, that are full of faith, that are willing to fight no matter what, not how they feel, not what their circumstances are, and not be dictated by the world, but be dictated by the truth of God Almighty to fulfill a commission. We have been sent into this realm to fulfill a commission. This mission, to many people, seems impossible. It's called Mission Impossible. But with Christ, all things are possible. See, when you are marked by heaven, you're backed by heaven. Everybody get it? When you're marked by heaven, you're backed by heaven. No matter what's going on, doesn't matter. Oh, glory. Ephesians 2, verse 1, let's read it. And he said, you, he what? He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked according to the course of this world. According to what? The prince of power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of what? Disobedience. You know, people don't even realize what disobedience is. If you're not submissive, you're disobedient. It's real simple. If you're not submitting to God, you're disobedient to God. Amen? That's it. There's no gray area. Among whom we also once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been what? And grace is not some magical thing. It's the plan of God, isn't it? So if you're not cooperating with the plan of God, are you going to make it home? No. And he raised us together and made us sit together in heavenly places. Ooh. In Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come he might show his exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, and it's a gift of God, and not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his what? We are his what? Workmanship. In other words, we are his workmanship. God took me and you and molded us. We're his workmanship. What he's doing is he's showing the world, look at this one's mine. See the seal on him? Go ahead, kick butt on him. I'm going to kick your butt. Can't touch this. Hallelujah. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should what? That we should walk. In other words, it was already prepared. It's like, you know, when you got clothes in your closet, they're already hanging there, aren't they? You just got to go put them on. It's the same thing with walking in Christ. You have to go put on Christ. Amen? We are his workmanship, made by his hands, prepared beforehand that we must. It says that we might. I'm going to tell you, we must. We must walk as a new creation. Because as you walk as a new creation, you are backed by heaven. Heaven backs the new creation. Heaven does not back self. Oh, glory. Let's go to Ephesians 1 while we're so close. In verse 7. Let's read it together. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in what? All wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the what? Mystery. See, we all know his will, you know. The mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have what? Obtained an inheritance, being what? Predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the what? Counsel of his will, that we who first trusted Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were what? You were what? You were marked, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So you and I were marked. We are marked by God. Amen? Listen, we are marked. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Not only are we backed by heaven, but we are marked by heaven. We are sealed by God as his children, his stewards, his servants, and his soldiers. I'm going to say that again. We are marked and sealed as his children, his stewards, his servants, and his soldiers. In Ephesians 4. Everyone say, I'm marked by heaven. Marked by heaven, sealed for glory. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:25, I think. Yeah. Let's speak it, please. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and don't what? Don't sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. You know how many times people give place to the devil? Just become disobedient. Just stop submitting to God. As soon as you stop submitting to God, you already made place for the devil. As soon as you are led by an emotion that was misleading you, you've all made place for the devil. Does everybody get it? Listen, the devil plays on your feelings. He plays on everything. You know, the Bible says when two agree on something, it comes to pass. Well, the devil tries to get you to agree on your thoughts. As a man thinks, so he is. Amen? So as your thoughts come, so you will see that way too. Because if you have a flawed thought, belief system, your perception will be flawed also. So you'll always see yourself as not worthy. You'll see yourself not strong. You'll see yourself weak. See, the devil, the powers of darkness, want to make you see yourself in every other way but see yourself as Christ. Does everybody get it? Nor give place to the devil. Verse 28. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who is in need. Here it is. Are you ready? Let no corruptible word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. In other words, God's plan. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Don't grieve him. By whom you were sealed, you were marked for the what? Day of redemption. Let all, but now he's going to tell you things that are going to tarnish, things that are going to cause you to be swayed, that are going to open doors. He said, let all what? Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave me and you. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit or tarnish your seal with blemishes of unrighteousness, rebellion, and disobedient that the enemy sees. The word tells us about keeping our garments clean. See, the enemy knows when you're tarnished. He looks for a loophole. Any area that, do you know when a spot, there's a spot. If you're wearing a white garment, a spot can easily be seen, can't it? When that spot is seen, it's access. Every spot is access. Does everybody get this? You want to have, you know, so many people are walking around, they think they're walking around with holy garments. They're actually spotted garments. They're not holy. They may look holy because there's a bunch of holes in them. But it's really not holy. They're just open doors. They're not, I want to say polka dotted, but they're not polka dotted. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, the enemy waits. He knows, he sees. He's looking for an open door so he can access to come to steal, kill, and destroy. And some people go, well, the devil ain't bothering me. Probably because you're serving him. Believe me, anyone that's serving the Lord in fullness is going to be attacked by the powers of darkness. If you're not being attacked, you obviously ain't doing something right. 2 Corinthians 1. Oh, hallelujah. Everybody okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 15. Let's speak it together. In this confidence, I intend to come to you before that you might have a second benefit, to pass by of you to Macedonia, to come again from Macedonia to you, and be helped by you on my way to Judea. Therefore, when I was planning this, I did it lightly, or the things I plan, I plan according to the flesh, that with me there should be yes, yes, and no, or no. But as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was what? Yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Now, he who establishes us with you in Christ has what? Anointed us. Everyone say, I've been anointed. The one who anoints me in you is God by the Holy Spirit. Does everyone understand that? Who also has what? Sealed us or marked us. In other words, when you are marked by heaven and sealed by heaven, you are sealed with the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty called the anointing. And given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Does everybody get that? See, when you are sealed, when you are marked, the powers of darkness see it. They know. They know who you are. In fact, they fear you. So they're going to come and test you. They're going to come and challenge you to see if you know who you are. And when you don't, they will take advantage of you. So many people are easily swayed. They look for men of comfort instead of God of comforter, the Holy Spirit. We are a seal of approval by God through the anointing. Amen? Go to Revelation 7. Revelation 7 and verse 1 says, after these things I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, till we have what? Sealed the servants of our God on their what? In other words, you and I are sealed as a commission for a mission. Does everybody got it? We have a seal for commission. You have been sent by God. That seal that's on you. See, the enemy knows that you've been sealed by God to fulfill a mission on this earth, in this realm. You weren't sent into this realm with a seal. You were sent into this realm as an offspring of darkness, born again to receive your seal in service. Is everybody okay? Sealed for a mission. Go to Ezekiel 9. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. Ezekiel chapter 9 and verse 1 says, then he called out in my hearing with a loud voice, saying, let those who have charge over the city draw near, each with a deadly weapon in his hand. Battle is on. And suddenly six men came from the direction of the upper gate with faces which faces north, each with his battle axe in his hand. One man among them was clothed with linen and had a writer's inkhorn on his side. They went in and stood beside the bronze altar. Now the glory of the God of Israel had gone up from the cherub where he had been to the threshold of the temple. And he called to the man clothed with linen who had the writer's inkhorn on his side. And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, to put a what? Mark on their foreheads of the men who what? Sigh and cry over the abominations that are done with it. Why? I mean, think about this. Now watch this. To the others he said in my hearing, go after him through the city and kill. Do not let your eyes spare nor have any pity. Utterly slay old, young men, maidens, and little children and women. But do not come near anyone on whom is the what? Mark. Why? They were sealed. They were marked for protection and intercession. And begin in my what? Sanctuary. Start in my house. Listen, that's happening now. There are people dying because God is taking them home before they end up in hell. There are people dying because they refuse to fulfill the mission. God is removing them out of the way. He said, seal them. Seal the ones that are interceding and protect them. And then go through the rest and kill them. That seal, that mark protects you. It protects you as long as you're an intercessor. See, you and I should be interceding. It's a seal of intercession. Some people go, well, I'm an intercessor. Everybody ought to be an intercessor. There's not just one person that's an intercessor. Everybody intercedes. Now, some people have a ministry that just prays, intercedes. But everyone should be an intercessor. That doesn't mean you don't pray. Everyone should be praying for the lost. Do you realize how many Christians are being slaughtered today? They're taken to rivers, bullets put in their head and kicked into rivers because they're Christians. It's happening now. They are dying all over the world right now. And there's not enough intercession because people are, you know what they're interceding for? Them stink themselves. Oh, give me this, give me this. They seek the hand of God and not the face. When they seek the heart of God, they're going to find out what is the heart of God. And when you seek the heart of God, you're going to feel his pain that says, my children are perishing for lack of knowledge. Someone pray for them that I can move on your prayers. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Listen, this mark is not just a seal of eternal life because that seal can be removed. Just an approved seal of honor. And we must walk in that honor. Nothing worse than having an unhonorable death. Let us die with honor. 2 Corinthians 3, is everyone there? In verse 1, would you read it with me, please? Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendations from you? You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by what? All men. All men are looking for they're looking for help. People are looking for escape from this world and don't even know what they're looking for. You are an epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly you are an epistle, you are a letter, you are a messenger of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the what? Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on the tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. You are sealed, you are marked. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who has also made us what? Sufficient as what? Ministers of the new covenant. You are sealed with a new covenant. You are marked. Let me tell you, this mark that comes upon me and you, which we have, we are marked by heaven as a new covenant. We are sealed as ambassadors, witnesses of the eternal truth. All hell hates you and fears you. They see that seal, they don't know what to do. But first again, they will challenge you to see if you know it. And if you wimp, they take advantage of you. Who also made it sufficient as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills and the Spirit gives what? Life. But if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? So that seal represents the ministry of the Spirit. We are the ministry of the new covenant of the Spirit of God, which is also known as the breath of God. So we carry the sword of the Spirit. Amen. As we are marked by heaven as ministers of the Spirit with a new covenant backed by heaven in Genesis 4. Oh, hallelujah. Genesis chapter 4. In verse 8. Genesis 4, 8. Are you getting this? Now Cain talked with Abel's brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? And he said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? Obviously, his answer revealed something that he had done. The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are what? You're cursed. From the what? Earth. In other words, he's going to have a hard time planting a garden. He will have to be dependent on man, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall what? No longer yield its strength to you. Do you see this? In other words, he could never prosper. He would have to be dependent. He would have to stand in the line of welfare and food stamps. Hello? Who's going to pay my rent? Oh, the government will attempt to. But they can only pay part of it, can't they? Florida doesn't pay nothing. You go to New York, you become a heroin addict and get everything. I don't know what they're going to do when you can't stand in line to get the dope no more. The methadone, because they're going to take that all away. Can you imagine what this place is going to be like? When people can't get food stamps or welfare or unemployment or retirement benefits or Social Security, people are going to freak out. Why do you think the military is getting ready? Okay. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out of this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. Why? Because they'll know he's cursed. And the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a what? A mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should what? Kill him. So he protected Cain. Why? Because God placed judgment on him already. He said, here is your judgment. So I'm going to protect you from the judgment of man, but I'm going to fulfill my judgment on you. Does everybody got it? And he became dependent on man. In Revelation 14, so there's a mark of curse. Does everybody get that? People who are cursed are marked also. But it's for God's judgment, not man's judgment. Is everybody okay? You know what that mark is now? It's called the mark of the beast. See, people think that the mark of the beast is from the beast. The mark of the beast is from God. He puts it on them. Oh, hallelujah. Why? Because they decided to serve the beast. So God said, here's the mark for you. Only God can mark. Only God can seal. He holds it all. Revelation 14 and verse 9. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation." See, judgment is not always full strength. There's a time when everything will become full strength. It's all leading up to that. See, we started with the beginning of sorrows, then we go to tribulation, then we go to great tribulation. We start with the breaking of the seals, the trumpets, then the bowls. And it increases to where it's full strength. Can you imagine to be under the wrath of God, full strength? Snap. "And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name." Here's the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. "And I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, 'Right, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them.'" 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Again, the mark of the beast is the mark of the beast, but that mark is from God. He's the one that will mark them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm sorry. I think that's what it is. Yeah. 1 Thessalonians 1. Everyone say, "I'm marked by heaven." Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory. Woo! Verse 2. "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us." Followers, which means what? Believers. "And of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, which with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples in all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. For your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, even Jesus, who delivers us from what? The wrath to come." So you and I are not accounted by the wrath. Why? Because we are sealed as long as that seal is not blemished. See, you can't get rescued on a half a seal that's trying to get into a place with a half a ticket. You can't get on a bus with a half a ticket. You can't get on a plane with a half a ticket. And you can't get in heaven with a half a ticket. In 2 Peter chapter 2, and we'll close here. So I think what the Holy Spirit is saying, cut the games. Cut the garbage. Come out of yourself. Quit touching unclean things. Tighten up. Grow up. And get things right. Because time is too short to play with the flesh. Make no provision for the flesh. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 2. Oh, glory. In verse 4. 2 Peter 2, 4. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment." Why don't you all read this with me? "And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example of those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For the righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations, to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness at those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deception while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and they cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by tempests, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a soul having washed to wallowing in the mire. So let us not return. There is no options. There can be no consideration to return. We must constantly deny ourselves. No matter what you're going through, if you have to crawl to God's presence, get there. Whatever you got to do, you do it. Let me share this with you, plain and simple. When I began to cry out to God for help, he said to me, Guy, do you want to be free from drugs and alcohol, or do you want a new life? And I realized wanting a new life said I had to give up everything and let him build my life from that forward time on. See, people can exchange drugs and alcohol for the world. Just because you know how many people are going to hell that have been clean for the rest of their whole life? I've been clean 25 years. That's good. That's nice. You're clean going to hell. So they got all of these emblems and stuff. Yeah, I made 5,620 meetings. And they're carrying baskets and all these chips. I've been clean. Big deal. That ain't clean. There's only one who cleans. Hello. And when he asked me that, I realized what he was asking me. And I said, I want a new life. And you know what he said to me? He didn't say, okay, no problem, guy, here, do this. He said, show me. Show me you want a new life. He didn't make me any promise. But he did ask me, do you want a new life or you want to get off of drugs and alcohol? Then he said, show me. And I did whatever it took in my own strength. I had to almost tie myself up in my house, lock myself in the closet. I was tormented by demons because I didn't know how to spiritually fight. I stayed away from phones, from people. You know, when you want to quit using dope, every drug dealer shows up and wants to offer you free stuff. And people begin to tell you, oh, man, you can't, Jesus ain't going to help you, man. You know, all this religious stuff, you turn in religious. I didn't even know what to do yet. I didn't accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I didn't even know what was what. So I went into a detox. I said, I got to start somewhere. And they gave me the sheet that had 12 steps on it. I looked at it as a prayer. So I began to pray this prayer. I began to pray to God. I did whatever I had to do to not touch evil. And then he sent a gentleman across my path that I was in a drug world with for many years. And he had gotten saved, cleaned, and filled with the Holy Spirit. And he began to tell me about Jesus. And that's when my life began to change. I went to a service, heard this funny language, which I almost ran out, thinking it was the devil. But I felt some kind of peace and love. People loved me, even the way I was. I was out on bail, getting ready to go back to prison. Didn't know what was going to happen with my life. And I was told to ask Jesus to come into my life, and I did. I went to that afternoon, accepted the Lord. He showed up, delivered me, healed me, brought me to the other side. Demons flew out of my body, and I was never the same. And I said, I'm yours. Whatever, wherever you want me to go, you want to send me to prison, send me to prison. Whatever you want me to do. I didn't have an answer. I didn't know what my future was. But I didn't care what my future was. You know why? Because I was fulfilled by knowing him. Nothing could fulfill me. I was fulfilled. I wasn't looking for money. I wasn't looking for a job. I wasn't looking for anything. I had everything I needed. Even though I didn't have any furniture, electricity, or running water. But I had the greatest peace and joy. I had everything, man. And I realized it was him I was looking for my whole life. And so I committed my life and my way to him. However he wanted to do it. Hey, look, he's God. He can send furniture. Furniture showed up on my front lawn. Things started to happen. People turned on my electricity. I didn't have any running water. My water came on. Next thing I know, Lord tells me to write a letter to VA. I mean, I was 6 months behind in payments and $6,000 and a $10,000 lien on the home. Well, you know what? God has a way of disappearing things. He restored my home, but first of all, he did something very vitally important. Because there was a woman in my life that I brought through hell because of my way of life. A woman that married me and saw good things of me that I never saw. We ended up getting divorced because she couldn't handle it any longer. I didn't blame her. I wanted her to die. Tried. Didn't do that too good either. But within 2 months, I owed it to her to tell her the truth. I owed it to her. I was on a plane to New Mexico. Got off the plane. Of course, I had some strange words spoken to me. You're an alien. What happened to you? We thought, I didn't know if I could love God and a woman. I'd have to get the love from him for her. But he gave me the love from him for her. And we're remarried 2 months after my visitation, set free from going to prison. And we've been together for over 22 years again now. The house that was in foreclosure was restored, and there was a total of 9 granted. And we've seen many lives change, not because of anything I did, but everything he did. And we're examples of what he's done and continues. And you are now sealed and you are now marked by heaven so that someone else can get marked and sealed by heaven and carry the same testimony of his love, of his power, of his healing for his glory. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it because of what he's done and what he's doing and what he's going to do again. You are rescued from his wrath. Maintain that seal, that mark. Keep it clean. Whatever you do, keep it clean. And keep your life in his hands, not yours. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. What could we say? There are no words to say, Lord. That's all we can do is show you. As you asked me, show me. Lord, let us all show you how grateful we are by praise and worshiping you, by being obedient. Grant us to hear your voice. Grant us to see. And grant us the strength to say yes to you. Seal your people today, Lord, with this word that's been imparted in them. Seal us, Lord, not only with your mark, but with your presence. In Jesus' name.